welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
You're going to join me with the song if you know it. If you don't, it's very easy. I want to be more like you. Jesus, I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel that you would use. I want to be more like you. For those of us who resent preaching, let me let you know that preaching is not the only thing that Jesus uses people for. But I will also not take it back to let you know that preaching or standing as a representative of God is the highest work anybody can have. But if you resent preaching, I need you to know and know it very clearly. Preaching is not the only thing that Jesus uses people for. There are more work to be done than preaching. Several more work that Jesus is looking for people to use to do than mere preaching. Jesus needs people to provide exemplary leadership for Nigeria. Jesus needs people to take the church out. Jesus needs people that will feed the hungry. Jesus needs people that will represent him well in all parastatals and every business and every form of human endeavor. Jesus needs people who will stand as the brightest and the best in every chosen profession of life, and that it will be clear that the reason why they are what they are is because of the beauty of Jesus, the higher mind of God himself that they connect with. Jesus needs people that will be first class holders in everything they do, not just for the sake of having paper, but for the sake of teaching the people the right way of education and what education really means. Jesus needs people that will beat all the professors to their game. Jesus needs all such people. So what we have come to present to you is not the preaching Jesus. It's not the Jesus that all that he probably knows how to do is to stay on pulpit and then use it to perpetuate some other things that he may want to do and be, and there's nothing more. The Jesus that the Bible taught us is the one that was anointed with Holy Ghost and with power, and that went about doing good and then healing all that were oppressed. It's not the Jesus that his major ministry is to heal people and cast out devils. It's not that type of Jesus. Healing and all those other things accompanied his ministry as the need arises. He wasn't really going out looking for people to heal as much as he was going out looking for lives to change. And with all forms of goodness that is required in each life. So that's why we will not gather to Jesus for healing's sake. We are past that level. I'll write out the words of that song. I don't think I have to. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel that you would use. I want to be more like you. So as we begin to sing that song, please take your mind off preaching or whatever that is about you that you resent, because I know there are people here that resent preaching. I'm not saying you don't like preachers, but you will never want, there's nothing in you that ever wants you to be a preacher. If you mention it like this, God wants to use you, you start, I don't want to preach. You are here. So I want you to be at home. We are not only talking preaching. There are more that God wants to use people for than preaching. So much more. You join me to sing that song. If you know it, if you don't, it's very simple. You can learn it in 1 minute. It says, I wanna be more like you. Jesus, I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel you would use. I wanna be more like you. It's real easy. Can we try and sing that together now? I wanna be more like you. Jesus, I
Wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel you would use. I wanna be more like you.
All we need as president over Nigeria that will bring us out of this shambles is one man that is committed to being like Jesus and nothing else. One man that will stand for truth and stand for peace and stand for righteousness and stand for goodness and stand for the rights and the dignity of every human life. One man that is committed to the goodness of the entire human beings placed under his jurisdiction like Jesus. That's what Nigeria requires to take them out of oppression. One man that fears no face. One man that cannot be intimidated. One man that the entire parliament can gang up against but will stay inside on his knees and command what will happen to all of them. And they will resign by themselves willfully the next day. One man that cannot be threatened. That's the person that Nigeria needs. There's more to do for God and with God than preaching. You know I'm saying it again now. So when we are singing that song, we are singing it knowing what we are talking about. If you know it now, you might want to hide us. I think we should stand. Just sing it with me 5 minutes. We'll move on.
I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel you would use. I wanna be more like you.
Sing it again. Say,
I wanna be more like you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel. I wanna be a vessel you would use. Oh, I wanna be more like you.
Oh, make sure you mean it and cry out to him for this last time in your heart.
Say hi. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel. I wanna be a vessel you would use. And I wanna be more like you.
In one word, say that as a prayer and then we'll sit down. Lord, I want to be more like you. More of your goodness, more of your love, more of your grace, more of your tender personality, more of your character, more of your power, more of your person, more of your inspiration, more of your wisdom, more of everything. Think about your particular area of need and ask for more of what he has in that area. More of your tolerance, more of your patience, more of your connection and intimacy with God, more of your understanding, more. I want more. I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel that you would use. Thank you, our Father. Lord, we come to you this afternoon. You are committed to doing so much with our lives, and we know that. And you have gathered us to teach us. We ask that as we proceed, oh, great teacher, teach every one of us. Instruct our hearts directly, not our heads. Let your word have deep penetration into us and let it spur us to action. Show everyone action steps that we must take from now so we can chart the course and get to where you are taking us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, be with my mouth and my heart and my spirit. and do so for all my brothers and sisters in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. All we want to be is to be like Jesus. And you will do that for us in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Please sit down. Thank you very much. I want to quickly harmonize a few things that we left off. I gave you a load of some certain scriptures that came as we were answering a particular question, and it's like there were two or so that we did not take down, that I did not write. If you got it, fine. If you didn't get it, fine. The first one of them is 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. The other is 2 Timothy 2:19. I don't know if that was part of what we wrote. And that is, the foundation of the Lord stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let all that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Which means there is a standard. God has his own standard, and he will not bend it for anybody. Not for anybody. I also want to clear certain things about the popular idea of mentorship and discipleship again. Let me say it again and very emphatically, that what the world presently understands as mentorship is not what discipleship is. Unless what we have is just a nomenclature problem, maybe when we're using different names for the same thing in your own mind. But what the world presently understands as mentorship is not discipleship. Okay? What they call mentorship is like someone you admire his success in one area or the other, and you would want to pattern after him, or you would want to learn from him. So you can have a mentor on business, you have another mentor on social life, you have another mentor on maybe education or something like that. Someone who you pick one particular area of his work and you would want to do likewise. Am I right? All the other people who know about motivational speaking and the rest. That's what it is about. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is the reproduction of the life of a man, a person. Eh? I want to be like this. It's not this picking different areas of life. Are you getting what I'm trying to talk about? Eh? I'm not saying, okay, I like Jesus' type of smile, but I don't like his holiness. So I will take his smile, then I can take another thing from. It's not like that. When we come to Jesus, we have come to the last bus stop. There's no more person to copy after him. There's no more. Not one person anymore. So it brings me to the first thing. I am also supposed to give warning to somebody here. I don't know who it is, but as he told me, if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden only to those who are perishing. Now, if you are still in this place and it seems some of the things that we are saying doesn't make sense to you, I want you to check. You are most probably not born again yet, and you need to give your life to Jesus. If whatever we are saying sounds stupid or is sounding uninteresting or unappealing, check it. You have not crossed from death to life. So it's still sounding stupid. It is only to those category of people that these things sound foolish. Check it. Finally, if Jesus has everything you need, that's where we are beginning, then why not sit and learn of him? That's where we are beginning. Oh, my mind is faster than my hand. Okay. Oh. So the question here is, what does Jesus not have? Out of everything you are looking for in life, everything you ever want to be, tell me one that Jesus does not have right now. Can we go? Of course, you know all the bad are not in him. And I'm not sure there's anybody that wants the bad. Okay, so tell me one. Somebody might want to say, what did Jesus invent? That was the question I asked when he told me this one. I said, okay, what did Jesus invent? I probably not thought about that. Oh, people have been having wonderful inventions everywhere. What did Jesus invent? I want to be an inventor. Okay, so since I have not thought about it, you want to answer it? Who wants to answer that? You know, an invention is when you bring something that most probably never existed before. Or you brought something that has never existed before from something existing. You know, that type of thing. It can be building on something that somebody did, and then you burst into another realm, and it's another new thing entirely. Like the person who discovered electricity, or the person who made the electric bulb. If electricity had not been discovered, there would be no electric bulb. Are you getting me? But from all that, from electric bulb and light and photo rays, you have your photocopier and so many of these other things. If you hear the stories that brought all those things, you will be shocked. How the photocopy machine came about, it will shock you. There is one born again man of God that kept having it. He was working in a law chamber, kept having several documents that he needed to copy over and over again. So what he would do, he thought of, instead of having to write and rewrite and rewrite, that he will call a photographer that will snap the things. And when that one snaps, so he has, you know, like that picture, they will, you know, add all of that. And then one of the days, he was spending a lot of money. Then the Holy Spirit ministered to him from his mind. Of course, they are a little bit, you should have a little knowledge of some of these things too. That this thing is photo that captures this thing. That if you put the image, the camera, there's something there that gets the light, that frames the thing. If you can put it in an enclosure and you are able to allow that light not to escape, and you do this and you do that, you can have this thing. Obviously building on the deposit of God in his life and his training, the Holy Spirit brooded on him and he showed him how to do that. And that thing came out as what you call photocopier. What did Jesus invent? That's not what Jesus invented. Jesus invented a new order of life, that people can die and have a new life without dying physically. That's the one that he invented. It has never happened before. Not all the prophets has ever done it. Even, I mean, prophets that were inspired by God. That a human being can remain alive and then he will be killed, crucified with Christ. Still, everybody is still seeing him. And the new order of life that has never existed before, that he himself has never had, he never even knows is in him or can be in him, will come out. That's one thing that he invented. A new order of life. That men and women can stand with the life of God that made the whole universe. Like I'm standing. I keep the rest of the questions. If Jesus has everything you need, why not sit and learn of him? Where he ended with us last was that we are not properly motivated to follow Jesus or to commit our lives to following him because we have never seen anything so striking about him. The Jesus that many of us have encountered as he speaks on pulpits is very vague. They even hardly ever talk about him. So you know next to nothing about his being, his personality, his grace, his wisdom, his abilities. You know next to nothing. If there's anything you know at all, is that he can heal the blind and heal the sick. And all those very small things are the things many of us know. So let's do a little bit of seeing some of those things. I will want somebody to quickly read Matthew 13, 44 to 50. If you are not fast, I might read it myself.
The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he did it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for a choice pearl. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all these things? Yes, they said, we do.
Thank you. You can write this down. Your resolve to following Jesus is not as much a question of choice as it is a question of value. If I ask you, get here by 6 a.m. tomorrow morning to pick up a check of 10 million naira, you will not, even if there is traffic all around your house, you will do everything humanly possible to be here at 6 a.m. Yes or no? Eh? If I ask you to arrive with this 6 a.m. tomorrow morning for at that same time, and I say come for a one-on-one meeting with God, myself and you, if you get caught up in hold up, you will not jump down off the bus, from the bus, and run and see if by running you can catch up. Will you? Anytime you are giving excuses when it comes to anything about Jesus or God, see, let me tell you where your problem is. This is where it is. Value. The kingdom of God is like a man that discovered a treasure in a field, and then he went back home to sell all that he has, because he knows the treasure he found is worth more than all that he has at home. And the price tag they have put on the field is what, by selling all he has, he can afford. So he's a smart business guy. What did he do? He, let me sell all these ones. People will think I'm stupid. They will be asking. But by buying that thing, the owner of the field becomes the owner of all the treasures inside it, isn't it? The smart ones, they trade their all to receive what Jesus has to offer. The smart ones. Not just choice. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow. If you don't have value for him, he has not struck you before, you will not know why. So immediately you encounter one little difficulty, it's easy to calm down. But if you have the treasure, you see, like I would rather die trying than stop, you will keep pursuing it. Why you are not desperate about following Jesus, why you can have excuses, why any other thing can be more important to you than him, it's because you don't have much value for him yet. You don't know what he is worth. He is not worth much to you. You only say all the things you say with your mouth. If he's worth more to you, you will drop anything he asks you to drop immediately, because you know what you stand to gain. You will not be arguing all those talking, what about this, whether my life will be this and all that. You don't know. Let's get there. Thank God I'm a young man like you, so you don't begin to think it's because I've achieved all the things I want in life. So maybe I can now be talking to be deceiving some people after I've done my own hard work and I've ended all the things I want to end. And it's now talking, you know. It's not that. All right, let's get there. So let's see the master's profile. Let's see a little bit of his profile. I'm trusting God. I have so many here. I will only pick a few. I will not go through all the things here, so that we can get into the other things and you will not be deprived of many other things that you should know, because I'm trying to spend so much time here. The first thing, I will not stay long on it since Abraham touched on it, is that he alone delivers from sin and its consequences. That may sound religious to you until you know what sin and its consequences mean. I had a father, and I still have a father, that was brilliant, and I probably took after him. He had a bright future. He was a promising child, and he made a lot of effort to be a very rich person, or great, you may want to say. After a while, of course, he had grown in his office and company. He had two cars, and I think even nowadays, if somebody has two cars in Lagos, he's not doing badly, isn't it? Okay, this was as far as almost 20 years ago. He had two cars. I mean, he had just bought a piece of land, intending to just complete the house and then move out and take possession. He wasn't even intending that his two-year rent in the house will expire before he will move, and just live the good life. He did not know what hit him. They sacked him in the office where he was working. for no offense. It was 4 years later that they found out that his name was mistakenly added to the list of the people they wanted to sack. The boss was begging him. Maybe it is his own pride or any other thing, took the better part of him. Whatever it was, he did not respond anymore anyway. Because, of course, I've been surviving all these 4 years, so don't give me all that bullshit. You hear all manner of stories about people who have done a lot of things and they are moved so high, and then in 1 minute something happens and it all crashes. If you don't know, it is because you are still within the reach of those people who can manipulate and who can do all those useless things. They can't get me. As a matter of fact, they are afraid of me. I am not boasting. I will not talk too much about the sin anymore. He has mentioned it. Consequences of sin. Sin is what reduced you to a person that will need deliverance from a curse. Sin is what reduced you to that. Sin is what reduced us to all this slavery thing that we are doing. Sin is what broke our walk with God and cut off our access to the mind of the omnipotent and the omniscient God. Sin is what makes us dullard. Sin is what makes us unproductive, because it took away the glory of God with which we were made to be like the God, like God himself. It took it away from us and reduced us to less than what we were supposed to be. Sin is what gave the devil right and access to anybody's life. He was never supposed to be a threat to anyone that God made in his own image. He was never. Satan is not in any way in the same class with a human being that God made. Here you are, anytime you hear the word Satan, you are afraid, aren't you? Sin is what reduced us to that level. So when we keep shouting sin, we know why we are shouting. Your life can't be anything meaningful without it, if it is still found in you. I made a resolve after I saw my dad's story, and there are more things to tell you, that I will not be like this. I will not be like this. That was the first reason why I started trying to pursue Jesus. Then I found later as I went by that desire for riches was top. He said, no, it can't be this one. You have to drop. He has me find that now. It's no longer, that's the desire for wealth or anything is not there. It's not part of the game now. But may I announce to you that the person who feeds the poor cannot be hungry. Eh? The one who feeds the poor, can he be hungry? The person who took it upon himself to be the one that will feed the poor, will he be the person that will be hungry? Jesus is not intending to make you a rich man. He's intending to make you somebody that will make others rich by the works of your hand. It's not all this, just gather money, me, myself, my wife, my three children. That's a very little life. He's intending to make you a leader of a nation. Somebody that will bring revolution. That's what he wants to make you, because that's who he himself is. All his disciples, they are men that changed the world. You didn't hear it in your Bible? You don't become a disciple of Jesus and end small. It is not possible. It is not possible. That's the first one. You can write all these scriptures. I may not read many of them. He alone delivers from sin and its consequences. Matthew 1:21 is the first one. He will call his name Jesus, for he will deliver his people from their sins. That's the first one. Romans 7:22-25. You may be faster than me, so that's why I'm calling them. John 1:29. You have written three already. Okay, Romans 8:1-3. Romans 4:25. Colossians 1:13-14. John 5:24. Galatians 1:4. And the last one, 1 Peter 3:18. I will want someone to read Colossians 1:13. Let's be quick. Colossians 1:13. it will be fine to have a mic. Go ahead if you are there.
For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son.
He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to. You might have heard, after a person becomes born again, does he need to go for deliverance? The answer is no, unless he was not properly born again, totally converted. If Jesus had delivered him, what are you delivering again? Did Jesus not finish his work? By whose power are you intending to do the deliverance? I heard the man of God say it in my former church at Lekki, that being born again is not enough. That after you become born again, so you must be delivered. And it's a church that is not even deliverance church. Presbyterian church for that matter. It is error. It's error. Let's move on. If you have any more questions on it, you ask. Number 2. He has a compelling and attractive personality. That's Jesus. He has a compelling and attractive personality. We will read Songs of Solomon 5:16. For this one, Songs of Solomon 5 verse 16. And then we'll read Luke 4:22. Who is there? Please read. Anyone that is there, take the mic and read. Give the person the microphone and then read it if you are there.
His mouth is sweet to kiss. Everything about him enchants me. This is what my lover is like, woman of Jerusalem.
That's one of the passages in the Bible young people normally run away from. Say, how can they be talking about kiss? Because our minds have been so degraded by sin. Every time you hear it, the only thing you can feel is lust. The only thing you can feel is how to touch somebody's breast. That's the only thing you can feel. It's sin that has brought us to that level. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. O daughters of Zion. Read Luke 4:22. I will read it myself. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not this Joseph's son? Is not this Joseph's son? You have probably sung this song. Light of the world, you came down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. You get to a point, you say, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You don't think about it. What does it mean to be altogether lovely? His personality all round, from the waking up of the day to the end of the night, including in Lagos traffic, is altogether lovely. Not once was an abusive word found in his mouth. Not one did he speak error. Not one. Did he lose his temper? Except for a just cause to prosecute the purpose of God. Like when people began to do all this nonsense. And that's why you see many of us who become angry when we are talking about false prophets. I took it from him. Psalm 66 verse 9. The zeal of the Lord has consumed me. The reproach of those who reproach you are falling upon me. That's what he fulfilled when he took whip to flog people out of the temple. It wasn't on only anger. Jesus is the best husband anybody can have. And if you are a woman, Jesus or a Jesus-like woman is the best wife anybody can have. Altogether lovely. There's nothing about him that is not attractive. There's nothing about him that a person doesn't want. Every woman, every man wants to associate with him. And that's how they will want to associate with a Jesus-like person. I have never been somebody that considered myself to be much endowed when it comes to physical attraction and beauty. But when I came to know what is in my life that Jesus has put there, I began to feel on top of the world. There's nobody I wish I'm like everyone will tell you. And there's no girl that will do me as if I don't have you, I'm dead. As a matter of fact, girls will be pursuing me. I'm the one who will say, no, I don't want. There's no better man than a Jesus-like person. There cannot be a better marriage than the marriage of a Jesus-like person. I'm not saying church. Somebody that will not be, no matter how much you keep pushing, he's large-hearted enough not to lose his temper, not to become angry, not to carry something and throw and say, your wallet has become too much, I can't take it again. No matter how much, he's still calm, he's gentle, he's weak, he's meek, he's lowly. That's what he said. Who can be a better human being than that? Christians are supposed to be the best people on earth, if we have been rightly taught. Anywhere you find a Christian, you should find peace, you should find serenity, you should find the right order of life. There's so much. I want to be like Jesus. When I lose my patience sometimes over little things, when something is doing me, I say, God, I can't bear this thing. I have one popular testimony I always share. It's one day that somebody annoyed me, somebody very close to me. Not really annoyed me. The person did me something that was very painful. Oh! We were talking on phone. Very deeply painful, hurting. You know, that can only come from somebody you love. Very hurting. I came to a point, it was as if the words were up to my throat, that if I don't speak now and respond back to this thing that this person is showing, I will die. But I learned to copy Jesus. So politely, as the Holy Spirit instructed me, I said, please, can you call me back? I need to talk to God now. That's what I told the person. He agreed. I said, call me back in 15 minutes. And then I went. Of course, still sitting down there where I was receiving the call, I prayed. And all the odds, all the anger I was feeling, see, look at what this person is saying and all that. I poured it out to Jesus. See, Jesus, look at this. Now you send me this business where they do, eh? Can you imagine how this person is called? That I poured it out. And I asked him to please help me to enlarge me more. 15 minutes, I was still praying. When the phone rang, because it had become 15 minutes, I said, okay. I got the release, answered the call. I was still feeling that thing as I was still pushing on. Immediately I pressed that thing to answer the call. Bam, all the odds had disappeared. And then, of course, the person began apologizing. I'm sorry. I said, please don't mention it. If you mention it, you want to go and bring back what has gone. I cannot remember. We talked all through the remaining of that night. I was laughing, I was smiling. The odds was no longer there. See, today is not there. I wonder what I would have been if I don't have Jesus in my life. I used to be a very bad boy. You can't see any traces of being stubborn in me anymore. But I used to be very stubborn. Ask people who know me. Or who knew the dead one. Because he cannot live again. Jesus is the one that transforms people to be like that. Nobody else. He's the one that makes touts and drug addicts become the loveliest men on earth. Because it came first from him. An attractive personality all around. You can't have a better husband. Let him be working in Chevron. If he is not a Jesus-like person, one of the days he will lose his temper and slap you. And then he will apologize later. And if you are not a Jesus-like woman also, you will provoke a man to do almost the same thing. That's why they will say women, they are like babies. In fact, sometimes if you don't beat them, they will not learn. I've had men say that. I'm not telling you stories. You want to be an altogether lovely person. You want to have an attractive personality. You want to be such a man with great, or a woman with great charisma and influence over people that will speak with authority, and you say one word, people listen to you. You are in a company where you are having business meetings, and one word that comes from you solves the whole problem they have been thinking about all day long. You have to be a Jesus-like person. You connect with him, he downloads wisdom to you. The third point is that he is the wisdom and power of God. In him are hidden all the treasures of God's wisdom. We are picking this point particularly because we are young people and these are the things that pertain to us. That's why I will not touch, I will skip many of the ones that are more ecclesiastical. I will skip them. Let's bring it home. He is the wisdom and power of God. That I will collapse two points together. I will collapse two points. There are many scriptures here. It's a Bible school. We are not just preaching. So you have to have scriptures. Colossians 2:3, Daniel 1:20. You've got to be very fast. We'll read Colossians 2:3 definitely. And Daniel 2:46. I'm writing on the board already, so if you are missing anything anywhere, you copy it. 46 to 48, Genesis 41:38-40. There's still so much more. 1 Corinthians 1:24. We'll read that as well. Ephesians 1:20-22. First Peter 3:22. You have to be fast. Colossians 1:15-16. Well, we may or may not read that. And then Colossians 2:10. Oh, we will read Colossians 2:10 instead. Okay. And I will read Colossians 2:10, or unless you have an Amplified Bible and you have the mic. Let's begin. Colossians 2:3. Who is there? If you are there, you get the microphone and you read. Or better still, I read everything myself. I think that's faster. Colossians 2:3.
In him lies hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
In him lies hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Of course, wisdom and knowledge are like treasures. I hope you know. Read Proverbs, you will find all that there. How can you have the mind of Christ and not be wise? We are making him ashamed because we limit him and we actually don't listen to him. When he's sending you things and information or places where you will get information that will help you to contact his wisdom, you will not go. You will disobey. You don't know how much you have missed. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, where are they? In Proverbs he said, by me kings rule. Talking about wisdom, isn't it? Any king that will rule well will rule by wisdom. Where is it found? Eh? If Obama will do well, where will he find the wisdom to use? Hallelujah. Okay, stay talking. Let me not talk too much. 1 Corinthians 1:24. We have a long journey to make.
But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God.
What is Christ? Oh, I want the power of God. Power of God. Power of God. Power of God. To a person that is not a disciple, that's why many of them that have even contacted the little one of it, they have destroyed more lives than built anyone. Man of God that has not conquered anger. First time there, somebody provokes him. Even if he doesn't say with his mouth, his spirit will curse the people. I've had a lot of them that will threaten you and you will say things. I will curse you. It must not come out of your mouth, especially if you are going to go to ministry. Where did you hear anything like that from Jesus? He said, I came to make people's life, not to destroy it. Some people insulted Jesus. They refused to allow them, to enter their village or have or give them food or something. Then the disciples said, should we call down fire? He said, you don't know the type of spirit that is controlling you. Do you think I've come to destroy men's life? They did something wrong. Those ones say, should we punish them? We know we have the power. Should we call down fire? Let fire consume them. Holy Ghost fire. I say, no, I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I came to set them right. I came to help them. In case you have even identified one man that you can call your enemy, who told you that you should ask that God should let him die? Are you not mindful that if he dies, he's going to hell? Don't you know about God's security for your life? Are you threatened? Why would Jesus say pray for your enemy? If not that I have assumed a state of life where they cannot touch me. A person who is insecure cannot pray for his enemy. I am secure. If you keep, he told Saul, it's a hard thing for you to kick against the good. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. What's my own? You want to be my enemy? Come on, I invite you. I won't even see you. I don't have your time. I'm busy doing my work. Trouble me. Last one, Colossians 1:15. Let's take that. Then we'll take the second one. And I think I will just stop with these three. We'll move to the next thing.
Christ is the visible image of...
Please, you need to open your Bible and read this one. So you see the person we are asking you to come and start following. What we are doing is, I want to show you a little bit of him. See the master. See who this man is. That you are saying you want to be like. If he doesn't strike you, you will not want to follow him. Colossians 1:15-16. Yes, read it, man.
Christ is the visible image of the invisible God.
Christ is the visible that you can see. Image of the invisible that you cannot see God. God the Father that made the whole world.
He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation.
Before the cars, before all the presidents, before all the kings, before all the heroes that you admire, before all those other things ever came to be, they have been existing. And he is supreme over all creation. That is over all the kings, over all the priests, over all the rulers, over all your heroes, over all the cars and the properties and everything you aspire to be in life. He is supreme over all. That's the man we are saying you should come and follow. You know, I'm not saying that's the God we are saying. It's the man Jesus. That is the Christ, chosen by God, the anointed one. That's the person we are saying, come and follow. Read on.
For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth.
Finish up. Is that all?
He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him.
The spirit that became Satan and all his devils, they were made by him and for him. My father. They were made by him and for him. Everything was made by him and for him. Plus your most dangerous enemy. All those things, they have limited you for too long. You carry an enemy mind, you stay in one corner. You can't do the things you are supposed to do. Finally, I will read this one myself. Colossians 2 verse 10. Take your time and list all the things. He said, every single thing were made by him and is supreme to all. Take a list. All the things you ever admire in life, write them all down. And then write that Jesus is supreme to all of them. That's when you are starting. Make a list of all the things that inspire you, that you admire, and then right there, put the scripture there that Jesus is supreme to all. It's worth pursuing, not those things. You pursue him, they will all be following you. You will not run after them. I have more music materials now than I dreamt of having. I didn't run after them. Many of you have paid people to get them. I didn't pay. I have them in my house. He brought them to me. I have tasted of his beauty. I know what I'm talking about. I got two of the most admired piano materials I ever wanted 8 years ago. I was supposed to be running after them. One day, he showed me the two. Within the same week, I got both of them. You want to know how? Come and ask me. I did not pay for it. If that's the next thing you want to hear, I did not pay. I have singing tutors, series, volumes. Things got running into hundreds of thousands. I didn't pay for them. How did I get it? I'm still busy running around making small, small change that you will now go and drop in the lap of one man that will give you that tiny thing that he calls a vocal tutor. Stay with Jesus, you will get better things. If that's the only thing that will make me pursue a sinner, I would rather not learn about how to sing than allow him inflict my life with his corruption. You limit Jesus too much. You think all he does is to preach? You think he doesn't know how to teach you singing? He doesn't know how to teach physics? In him are eaten all the treasures of God's wisdom. Ask Billy Akoni, was a lecturer of physics. He will tell you how Jesus teaches physics. Ask Pastor Adeboye, he will tell you how Jesus teaches mathematics. Why do you limit him to preaching and reading Bible? Why do you think that's all he has to offer? Sit down. You are writing. What does a writer need more than inspiration? Who gave the inspiration to write the Bible? Everything the Holy Spirit will ever show you. John 15, John 16, verse 12. Verse 14. He said, he will speak from, he will take from the things that are mine and he will show you. Because all that the Father has, they are mine. They belong to him, friends. What are we doing? He's not a small boy. He's not that church person. It's all that matters in life. All. One of the days on my personal altar, I came up with a song. You are all that matters to me, Lord. You are all that matters to me. Especially when some distractions wanted to come into my head. You are all that matters to me now. You are all that matters to me. All else can wait. All else can wait. All else can wait. All else can wait while I'm with you. All else can wait. You are all that matters to me, Lord. You are all that matters to me. It's a song from my personal altar. I use it to ward off all distractions, all negative thoughts, all wandering spirits. Immediately I begin to sing that, I'm chasing all of them away. They don't matter. Not work, not school, not education, not book. You matter to me. When we finish, there will be plenty of time left for all the rest of the things. Anytime you rush out without him, you will waste some more time doing little things. Check it from today if you did not show, if you have not been checking before. Take that 1 hour to sit down with him and you will pray and you let him fill you with his goodness and with his life. You will save more time that day. You will have a less stressful day. You say, because I have so much to do, you run out, you have left the most important thing. They will waste your time, batter you the way they beat everybody in Lagos. Because you have misplaced your priority. You have misplaced your priority. I am not struggling like the rest of the world. I will not. I have passed it by the grace of God. That's the order of life is calling you to. How can you be a hustler as a Christian? So we are all hustling now. You know, it's not easy. We're all just trying to manage. What are we trying to manage? You manage scarce resources. Is all resources are not scarce? Are they scarce? I will read in Amplified Bible, the final one. And you are in him. Made full and having come to fullness of life. Are you reading Colossians 2 verse 10? Amplified Bible. That's where I'm reading from. And you are in him. Made full and having come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And let me tell you who he is. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. When a man controls, has influence over a vast majority of people, he is said to be a principality. Obama is a principality. I want to bring it down. So, because a lot of us don't even understand physical things. That's why we don't understand spiritual things. An emperor is a principality. Whatever he says, he rules millions of people. If he blinks, somebody dies. So much power. That's what is ascribed to principalities. Continental rulers. They have them in satanic kingdom also. fallen angels assigned over an entire continent. All evil spirits in their millions report to that one. He is the head over all principality, both angelic and human principalities. If he wants to eject Obama today, he will not do anything. If you have not known about the battle of Armageddon, when the whole world under the Antichrist will amass themselves against him, you have not read that the Bible said he will kill them with the sword of his mouth. How can you think he will fight? Who and who fight? Who are we fighting? Jesus fights the devil. Who fights the things he made? Who? Zechariah 12, verse 1. He is the one that made all the spirits of men. They are in his hand. Job 12:10. In whose hand is the breath of all mankind? All he needs to do is to withdraw it. They fall down dead. They are in his hands now. The people you are running after, their breath is in his hand. If he wants to show you that you are foolish, all he needs to do is kill that person before you get there. He will come back home crying. Say, then you, the next thing is, ah, the devil. Hey, Satan has killed Allah, no me. You have misplaced your priority. You make too little of him. And I beg God that you will change it today. In Christ, this is the highest offer that is making. In Christ, you too, you are filled with the Godhead. In Christ, I am filled with the Godhead. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of them. I am filled with them. That's available to me in Christ. The fullness of God can be in a human being. That's what's available in Christ. And then all the things that come with that, all the wisdom, all the wonderful inventions, all the everything that God can possibly produce, they come with that feeling. That's the person that we are asking you to become his disciple. And we have told you that the goal of discipleship is Luke 6:40. He that is perfectly trained, readjusted, set to right, restored, will be as his master. That's what we are saying you should come and become. Like that person, like Jesus, the head of all rule and all principality. That's what we are asking you to be. That you will stay on your knees, you will dictate what will happen to Nigeria and where Nigeria will go in the next 5 years. That's what we are saying. That you will lead in every sphere of human endeavor that you find yourself. Unless you are no longer asking him to be the one to lead you. You keep living it like every normal human being, you get all their normal human beings' results. Round it up now so we can take your questions. I will stop there. There is so much more. There are 16 points here. I took only 3. I will leave it there. I'm faced with the decision either to go to lesson 2, I've just finished that lesson 1 of the other time, or stop here and allow you to ask your questions. You tell me what you want me to do. Should we move to lesson 2, or you have so much questions? I'm not expecting so much questions. Okay, so let's move to lesson 2. My God said, ask questions. All authorities are subject to higher authorities. Okay, please give him the microphone. Let's take the question.
Praise the Lord. My question is, if one is born again, should that person still go under some training before he can acquire all these things?
The answer is a very big yes. Galatians 4:1-2. The heir, as long as he's a child, is not different from a slave, even though he's the master of all. The person who will inherit all his father's property is not different from a slave when he remains a child, because he has to stay under tutors, teachers, guidance, that will teach him until he grows up to maturity. Then they will say, all these things, actually, we have been keeping them for you. They are your father's property. Take. They cannot give him when he is still 5 years old. He has to grow to this age appointed by the father. Let's say the father has said 25 years of age. When my son reaches 25 years of age, release all my properties to him. If that boy does not clock 25 years of age, they will not give him. You have to grow. That's the part of discipleship. That's exactly what we are looking at. That now you are born again. Very good. You have taken the first step. Now you come under. Say, Master, when I want to learn from you, how can I become this? I have seen this one in you. How can I become like this? Then he starts teaching you step by step. Say, do this one. No, don't do that one. Do you understand? And as you progress, they begin to release more and more and more and more and more to you until you reach full maturity. Do you understand? There are several things in God you will never get until you are grown to that point. God can't trust you with a certain level of riches until you are grown to that point. Because he knows it will kill you. And he doesn't want to kill you. He wants to help you. So he won't give you. When your root is not firmly established in him, it will not launch you into some lights and some revelation. Not even in the word of God only, in terms of human issues. He won't give you because he knows immediately you become a star, that's your end. Your center will not hold again. You cannot hold yourself again. He knows you will not be able to say no to juicy offers. So he will say, no, I'm not ready to waste this man. No. Sit down. And then some who are ignorant will now keep running from one prophet to another. I don't know what's tying me down. It is Jesus that is tying you down. And there is no prophet that can save you from his hand. He don't catch you. Do you understand that? Another question. Okay, ma.
Sorry, my question is, you said, during the course of your teaching, you said Jesus is the head of over principalities and powers, and if we are to be like Jesus, we are not meant to be afraid of the devil. Okay. And my question is, my father attends Mountain of Fire, and most of the time when we are doing our devotion, we must bind the devil. There is always a prayer point. Yes. And even when you like tell them that, because personally I don't believe in that devil, I don't believe devil is that powerful. You know, they now make you feel as if, even when you are telling him that, the devil is not that powerful, they make you like you are still a child. You know, maybe you don't know what you are saying or something. Or you belong to a church that they have like 1 week deliverance conference. And you are like, what actually am I supposed to be delivered of, when I know that it is only the greatest havoc, which is sin and all that? And are you supposed to, like, you know, what are you supposed to do?
I want to quickly say something, so let him just take it.
Praise the Lord. Maybe I should let Pastor take it.
Praise the Lord. You see, these demons' problems, we've just really given them the posture they don't have. And it's a big problem in the body of Christ today. When the Bible said that if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. All things are passed away and all things have become new. The question is, do you believe that scripture? The Bible said you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. If you have been translated, if truly you are born again, you have been translated. You are no longer in that kingdom. You are now in this new kingdom. So the principles that operate in the other kingdom no longer apply to you. You are not a citizen of that kingdom. You now belong to another kingdom altogether. You now need to learn the principles that governs this, your new kingdom that you have become citizen of. That's what we're doing here today. I'm coming there. I know so many people are here, so I just, So the point now is, if I now have a challenge, now that I have this understanding, and I'm living that life, like we said, that it's only sin that can reduce you to become a slave of Satan. And it can begin to mess you up and do so many things. The reason why we have need for deliverance in the church most times. But now that you know and you are living that life, you now have a challenge somewhere, either in the home or in the church or somewhere, whatever it is, on what the truth is. You living the truth and they are challenging it and telling you that you don't know. Oh, T-Rogun. You see, the only way to prove that is by your life. Your life will now speak. It is now the issue of wait and see. Because you really can't prove anything here now physically. You can't say you want to prove that you are a child of God, so let me do this so that you can know that I'm a child of God. You will get into the flesh. You will be doing what Jesus Christ refused to do when Satan said, if you are the Son of God. Turn this bread. Maybe you are hungry. Turn this bread to wine. This stone to bread and eat. Or jump from the top of the mountain to prove. So many people want to prove that they are anointed. And they want to do something to prove. I don't have anything to prove. You just wait and see. You will see that I go to school. No demon hindered me. I come out with first class. You will see that I get my job. Hallelujah. And I'm not, no demon in that me. You will suddenly discover that I get married to a wonderful young man who loves me and is just cleaning my nose, cleaning my eyes and everything and enjoying myself. You will discover that I go for honeymoon and I enjoy myself and that my life is good. You will discover that I'm prosperous. You will discover that nothing is hindering me. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That takes time. Otherwise, you will get into arguments. And God has not sent us to go and argue. Are you getting what we're saying here? God hasn't sent us to go and do what? To go and argue. You should be proof producers. Like our Father in the Lord, Moses Cirillo said, you become a proof producer of what you have believed. Sometimes we talk too much. There's no need for talking too much. Let what you carry, let it show. That's why we are talking about doing the word. That's the reason why we are emphasizing your doing the word. Then it will produce, it will show. In your lifestyle, it will show. Your respect and honor at home will show. Even your wisdom in handling that matter, it will show you have a relationship with God. Hallelujah. You won't become cocky. You guys that are just shouting demons all over the place. You don't even understand the word of God. You know, we are taught. You know, we went to Bible school under Abraham. He taught us the word. You are beginning to be foolish, and they look at you. They can't see humility. They can't see serenity. They can't see respect. They can't see honor for your parents. They can't see all of these virtues that the word of God taught you. Then you have no message. Are you hearing me? You have no message. But if you still maintain your cool, you still maintain respect for your parents, you still honor them, you do all of the things that you're supposed to do, you clean the house, you cook the food, you arrange the things, you are clean, you are decent, you are cautious, you are polished, alright? You are respectful, you keep honor to whom honor is due. They see your life, they can tell. It becomes a message. It won't be too long before they will follow you. Get ready. You become an evangelist by your character.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Let me just add, you want to say something? Let me just add one or two things to it. When I got born again, I was from a Muslim background, and my father insisted that I was still going to pray in the Muslim way. So since I was living under his roof and he's sending me to school, no problem. So I'll do, God, when are you going to deliver me from this place? I'll do the kneeling that should be you kukuma, keep quiet and you say everything inside. They even gave me opportunity to pray. Sincerely. Five times a day. That I wasn't doing before. So you used to wonder, what is wrong with me? He knew I was a Christian and he was suspecting. But every time I'm like, God, when will you deliver me from this place? Help me, oh Jesus. this is me today. Wisdom. You go there. I know some people could be very, very, what was that word now? Extreme. And they may say that you must do like this. Don't let anybody wound you. If they say, let us, that you must pray, all the enemies that have sealed my destiny and all that are flying at night. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Of course, we have enemies, but you know who your own enemies are. So you will pray because you know who your enemies are. Kill your own enemies. Let them be busy doing the things. But a time will come when it may end up as a matter of persecution. There will be things that you have to say no. Are you getting it? But you see, I don't want to teach you. I'm speaking to you. I'm not talking to all of you. But okay, when it gets to that stage, come and meet me. I will tell you what to do so that some people won't get to me and say, Daddy, you are going to hell. Well, I didn't teach you that one here. You know, there are times when you say no, okay, but in what we will talk about it personally. So that all these young people will not mistake us.
Okay. So, meanwhile, continue respectfully under your parents. Thank you. Another question from anywhere? Have you exhausted your questions? So what will you do now? From this lesson, what are you planning to go and do? That's my own question. If you have not come to the point of knowing what to do, you have not finished. You are only excited. So tell me what you want to do. Tell me what step you are going to take from now. Not, let me know. Oh yeah, tell me. Nobody wants to say anything. You want to say something?
He said, write out things that matter to you. Sum them up with Colossians 2.
How many of you took that down? What he just said now, how many of you took it down? Write out all the things that matter to you. When you are finished writing them down, then write on top of it or beside or summarize everything and write Jesus is supreme to all. You begin to make progress. You begin to reset your mind to know that this thing I'm pursuing is less than what Jesus has to offer. We said that you didn't take it down. You are not mindful of actions. That's what I want you to be mindful of, not knowledge. What? Okay, fine. It's coming to me that this guy, this master, this Lord, this Jesus is so great, is so important. Okay, now, fine. What are you going to do with that knowledge? You should be asking such questions. You should be asking such questions. You should be asking more questions about, okay, how do I know more of these other things that he's capable of doing that I have never known, that will inspire me more to want to follow him? You should be asking questions that spur you towards action. Not just solving some of those hard knots that they have raised that really don't exist. So if now you have suddenly realized there's a question you should ask. If you don't ask, I will not ask for you. I will leave it to you. And your alertness in the spirit to pick what God wants to give you.
Praise the Lord. There is this scripture that was quoted, and I don't know whether we paid good attention to it, in Luke chapter 6 verse 40 in the Amplified Bible. A pupil is not superior to his teacher, but everyone, when he is completely trained, did you hear that word? Trained. So you have to make yourself available to be trained by him. Readjusted. That means you are in a particular situation that you are now changing from there to something. You are adjusting. You can't remain on the same spot over and over and over. They preached and preached and teach and teach and preach and preach. It didn't concern you. You thunder. So the Bible is talking about being readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected. When that happens, you will be like your teacher. And who is our teacher in this case? Jesus. So we have things to do. Which area do I need to be readjusted? That is the action step that I think we should look at. Because it would be funny if we just go through all of this and we went back home and have good teaching material for Sunday school next Sunday. When we are not readjusted, we are not restored to rights, we are not advancing anything. So many people have remained like that, just looking for something to teach, especially somebody who may have insight. If they are in meetings that people where they have insight, they are looking for something to grab, to go and preach, to go and show that they have knowledge. When you can sit down, the master can give you much more than that if you have good relationship with him. And others will come and listen to you. But you just want to be spoon-fed. Because you don't want to be readjusted. You don't want to be restored. You don't want to take steps. We are in an age where we just want new revelation, new revelation, new revelation, new revelation, new thing, new revelation. Oh, that's revelation. Well, the one of last week, what happened to it? Has it been fulfilled in our lives? That is where we are today. Brethren, what adjustment do you need to make? And God will not do what you are supposed to do. He will only do what he's supposed to do and expects you to do what you're supposed to do. I think that's the area where rubber meets the road.
Well, eventually our second assignment has just been refined. So you are going to submit my first assignment today, and then I'm giving you the second one now. If you have not done it, if you have not done the first one, you are going to answer an administrative question. So you will come and you will see me. This is the second one. It has just been refined from what you said. What I have here is identify 10 things in your life, whether it's attitude or relationship or behavioral pattern or whatever, all these other things that you need to be readjusted, like what he has just said. Identify them. Things that you were, that you used to be, and especially things that you are still holding on to. Just get the question first. You can write it down later. Let me explain it well. Especially things you are still holding on to, that you need to readjust. That you know, as long as these things remain with me, they will not allow me to follow Jesus. I will not be able to go. Write them down and include in your list, when you are finished writing them, your plan on how to give them up. We believe you are willing to surrender them, definitely. Don't forget to write your name and the course name on the paper. Let me let you know that all your reports are confidential, so nobody will see any other thing that you are writing. Are you getting me? These things are intended to help you, so that by the time you are through, you are transformed. Right on the board. It's just okay. Action steps. Action steps. We want to change. I know you want to change. We have to take these actions so that we can measure our change and change properly. This thing can include the way you manage your time. If you don't have good control on your time, definitely you will not. You can't follow Jesus if you are not, if you don't have time to stay with him. I've just given you one of those things. If you have up to 10, fine. If you don't have up to 10, I will still take it. But I will know from your answer if you are telling the truth or not. If you ask me how, I will tell you the same way Jesus knows what is in the heart of men. That's how. I didn't get to all those things. I didn't get to tell you about issues, you know, like or in that degree. The last assignment we wrote, that is the assignment on how to study the Bible that the Asset gave us. We have observed that many of us didn't do them. And those who did, sincerely speaking, showed no respect to the institution with the quality of work you did or the type of paper or manner of writing that you employed. I saw people tear sheets of paper. Those were all the things reported. Sheets of paper torn, especially jotter, torn carelessly, and all manner of things like that. No names properly written, no course name. When you are doing assignments in a school, you will have to fill in all such things. The name, that's course name, student's name. Of course, you not in this order because there should be lecturer's name. The title of the assignment. And then finally, the question itself. The question that you are being asked to answer also should be written. Then before you start writing your answers. It can include all, or at some point, if the assignment is not particularly titled, you may take out this. But if it is coming under the sub section of a particular course, you might also want to include the title that it relates to. So let nobody use jotter to write this assignment. Let nobody use one flat piece of paper. You use a full scrap sheet. Full scrap sheets. That's higher education leaves. Not this. You have to find it. I'm saying that especially because we are young people. You need to know how to do some of these things. The only person I want to commend, and I will commend her publicly, is Sister Nike. She's a very good full scrap sheet. Very good paper. And thanks and kudos to you for your neatness and that level of respect. All right, that's everything for now. I leave you to say the prayers that you think you have to pray. Thank you. Done.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 080-3348-0058, 080-813-8536, 080-7455-8177, 081-409-9132, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life